This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How you dare? I hope you all are having a great day. This is the third episode of the week, so I'm really enjoying the feedback I've been getting for the last two, so I felt like I'll just put another one. And the reason why I wanted to put this one out today is because as you go into the weekend, we start fall here in North America, and in other parts of the world, different seasons start, or even the fact that we're getting closer to the end of the year. I want everybody to have a reminder of who they are. There's no better guest than Kiera Noel to talk about this. This is one of my favorite episodes because we just talked about the essence of what it means to be who you are, what it's like to find your unique soul print, and how to stay in your truth. You know, essentially, a lot of times I find that as the year goes on, we get away from who we are and what it is that we want to do. So hopefully this episode serves as a reminder for that, and you get back to the powerful being that you are. Hope you enjoy the episode. Please leave feedback. Continue to leave reviews on the website, on iTunes. I really love reading your reviews. And I love you all. Enjoy the episode.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today I have a special guest. She goes by Kiera Noel, and she's an intuitive coach, a healer, and a spiritual teacher. We're going to be diving into her journey into these three things, but also what she discovered about herself and, by extension, humanity. So I'm really excited as we dive into this spiritual journey, but also this intuitive aspect that she feels we all have that we don't tap into. Welcome to the show.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Excited to jam out with you, share some wisdom, and get this magic train on its way.
Well, the pleasure is mine, and it's something I'm excited about as well. But I really want to dive into little Kiera. You know, when you were younger, what was it like for you growing up, and how did that lead you down this path you're into right now, where you're helping people tap into their intuition and you're healing people, but also being a spiritual teacher? I don't believe that a lot of us really have that intuitive, have the ability to be intuitive very early on because it's not taught to us. And so the fact that you learned that yourself is something that's intriguing to me. So I'm curious as to how you found your way down that path.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back in time a little bit. So when I was younger, I always had a really strong, voice inside of me that I couldn't identify as if it was part of me or if it was someone else speaking to me. Mm. And it was very interesting because it always got confirmed through my mother. So my mother would always speak to me and tell me, honey, you're walking the path of the wounded healer. And she would say things like that. And it would just be like at 10, 8, 6, I was like, Mom, what does this mean? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So she saw this little light in me, this kind of intriguing light in me that she tapped into herself and reflected it back to me. So she constantly reflected this back to me just as a reminder, even if that age I didn't intellectually understand, on a soul level, I was picking up what she was trying to basically illuminate within myself. And I also remember that growing up, I could not go into churches. I could not go into cemeteries. I could not even speak about quote unquote spirits because it scared me. It was so terrifying. And there was just something within me that was like, I need to avoid this at all costs. And I could never understand that or figure that out. And what really, as I got older and I went through my own journey, what really happened was I was truly afraid of my own power. I was afraid of dropping in and really feeling myself and looking at myself and accepting myself and embracing this gift that I had. And so as I was growing up, I was kind of like the lone wolf of the family and in school too. And I deviated from the norm. I was a chameleon. Like I could talk to you about sports. I could talk to you about, girly things. I could talk to you about whatever was on your mind. I could totally hold a conversation with you, but there was always something more. And that longing for something more, I felt throughout my whole life. And it really actually drove me into a really dark place because I had no idea what it meant. I didn't feel like I was, belonging here. I didn't feel like I had a place on this earth. And so at 16, I had a very severe eating disorder. I was in a deep, deep depression and, lots of anxiety and just in a basically rock bottom. And it was through that experience that I truly, truly just surrendered completely. I call it the humble surrender. And I literally surrendered and I was like, okay, you know what? God, universe, source, spirits, whoever is listening, like I surrender. I'm here. Like, allow me to see what I need to see, embrace what I need to embrace, and just I can't try and control this anymore. I can't figure this out on my own anymore. And so once I went through that humble surrender, that's literally, it's like the floodgates opened up and the doors opened and I just dove deep into this healing journey of yoga, Reiki healing, energy healing, modern mystery school teachings. Like there's just so much, so many healings, modalities, schools of thought that I sunk my teeth into because what was really happening, to be very honest, was I was experiencing myself through these different modalities. It was like I was literally, it was like a soul retrieval. I was literally experiencing myself through all of these modalities. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is what it feels like to actually be me. Now I understand. And it felt so good. And so I did a 10-year, I'm 26 right now. So I've basically been doing 10 years of deep, deep diving into, my own healing. And then only recently have I really been like, you know what? I can be that mirror and I can be that space of grace for somebody else to really feel, meet, and embrace their true self.
That is so fascinating for me. And I like how you went through that. And there's so much to unpack there. So let's start off with this. You said what you were really experiencing was yourself. What do you mean by that? Because I imagine someone's listening to that and they're saying, I don't even know who I am. So how did you come to that conclusion that it was yourself that you were experiencing? And why do you feel like that was the case?
So I'll reverse it back to you. So every time you feel, when you feel something that feels so good, like it just resonates so deeply with you.
Yes.
It's like, it's literally you're experiencing you. So it's a part of you that you're experiencing outside of yourself, but really it's just a reflection. Mm. So everything outside of ourselves is really a reflection of our internal world.
Interesting.
So yeah. So what we're doing is, when something feels really good, it's just a resonance with your own being. We're all energy. At the root of it, we're all energetic beings. So if something feels really good, let's say a song feels really good you hear a quote and you're like, oh my God, yes, this resonates so deeply with me. Like I really feel this. Your whole body shifts. Like you can really, it's almost like you can let it land in your body. And that's really you feeling yourself. We're human beings and we have the capacity to have these emotions and feelings. And so every time something resonates deeply with you, it's literally like soul retrieval. You're accessing a part of yourself. It's like a reminder. We're here to remember ourselves. So it's like a reminder of, hey, look, this is you and you like this. You know what I mean?
And a lot of times we go through life not acknowledging those reminders. You know, we don't acknowledge how we feel in those moments or a song or challenge comes up and we're like, yeah, that's really intuitive, but we just move past it. And we don't acknowledge those moments. And that failure to acknowledge those moments leads to, I guess, a sense of loss. Is that what you, would you agree with that?
Totally. It leads to that longing. So we most often we're walking around with this deep inner longing of something, and we don't really know what it is. But honestly, at the root of it, through all my work and all my clients that I've done, this deep healing work with, at the root of it, the longing is to truly feel, know, and embrace yourself.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I tend to agree with that in the sense that a lot of us, we go through life searching and seeking this purpose, and many times we miss out on the clues. I was watching, I know you saw this in my story. So Whitney Houston is one of my favorite artists of all time. Like, amazing. Like, you know, I always say everybody had, you know, Michael and Prince, but Whitney and your fellow countrywoman, Celine Dion, those are the two people I would listen to whenever I needed some sense of positivity. But watching the documentary and listening to her and the people around her, you got the sense that she didn't know who she was. She didn't have a sense mm-hmm. of her identity, and she lost it in several things that she felt gave her feeling. Now, listen to you. You're saying that those are the things that we as humans need. You know, we crave that connection. We crave that want to have a meaning of some sort. And then if we don't realize what it is that is actually good for us, we just find it in other things. And those things can be harmful. So that sense of self-awareness is a skill that we're not being taught in school. And you, with your spiritual healing, is something that you try to remind people to tap into.
Totally. And actually, on that, that's a very good point. Because so for most often is when we go into that, or when we get a taste, it's like when you dip your feet into, or you get a taste of that feeling, most often it's scary. So people, it's like we numb it. We numb it with something else.
Yeah.
But really, what we're actually longing for, the thing that we push away the most, is really the thing that we're longing for the most. So what we're doing is, as soon as we get that taste or we dip our feet in, we're like, oh yeah, that instant, like instantaneous, like this feels really good. And then all of a sudden we numb it with something else. Well, really it's our invitation to dive deeper into that. And that is where I really kind of, opened up the invitation and opened up the conversation for people to dive deep. I like to call it playing in the deep waters, but that's really what it means. It means to really dive deep into those feelings and like, literally swim around in them and feel them and enjoy them, because that's we're human beings. Yes, we have a soul, but we're human beings for a reason.
Right.
We're designed to feel. We're designed for this connection. We're designed to like touch, see, taste, like all of that, right? And so it's really an invitation to access your own divinity, which is to access your light, your soul, your I could even say God self.
Yeah.
But also experience your fullness.
You remind me of Marion Williamson, and
oh wow,
yeah. And as we talk about this, this is one of my favorite things of all time. So, excuse the length of it, but everybody knows this. This is our famous saying: our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that others won't feel insecure around you. We're all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And so,
amen,
right? And I remember when I first heard that. It was a teenager, 14, 13. It was an abbreviated version in a movie. I think it was Coach Carter. And then I went on to start actually understanding what the saying was meant. But we as humans tend to do that a lot, where we misdiagnose what our deepest fear is. And when we get a taste of it, like you said, we sometimes sabotage ourselves in a destructive way. Now, with you, when you went through that experience at 16, it was where you had the eating disorder. Mm-hmm. What was it exactly that led you to come out of that? And how can you help someone who's currently going through some self-sabotage method right now to come out of that hole?
So specifically for an eating disorder, so how I kind of spiraled into that was because I tasted, you know, my own power. I tasted that the truth that was within. And I tasted that light, but it scared the crap out of me. And I felt that if I surrendered, that I would be giving up quote unquote control. And growing up, I was a control freak. I wanted to control everything, everything.
Hmm.
And so as I was going through this, I was like, okay, well, I really like, this feels really good when I kind of get a taste of it, but I'm not ready to give up this control of my life. Right. And really what control means is I don't trust myself, or I don't trust the universe, God, a source greater than myself that has my back. That's all you're saying, is when you don't want to give up your control, you're just saying, I don't trust life, basically. Yeah. So what happened was for about 6 months or so, I really resisted the idea of, okay, I need to completely give up this control, surrender. I mean, my eating disorder was anorexia. So I tried to control every little piece of food that I did or did not put in my mouth. And that gave me a sense of like accomplishment, right? Because there was something that I could control so, so, so deeply. But it wasn't serving me. It was completely sabotaging. And so what happened was, it wasn't until that I experienced that little like tiptoe into myself, that little invitation into experiencing like, okay, this is what it really means to actually surrender. And then I committed, and really it's a moment to moment commitment. I committed, I'm staying with this feeling. And every day I would stay deeper and deeper and deeper with that feeling. And it's just basically choosing love over fear. And maybe it was 1 minute, maybe it was 2 minutes. And I would just stay in that feeling a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. And then I'd be like, okay, you can go back to control. But it's like, I couldn't go cold turkey, because that wouldn't work. But it was that little taste that grew bigger and bigger and bigger, until it was like, oh my goodness, I got to a point where the pain to actually control was greater than the pain to surrender.
Hmm.
And once you get over that kind of threshold, then you're like, all right, I can do this. I just honestly, like, if everyone listening can visualize this, on my knees, humbly surrendering, being like, all right, you know what? I'm here. I'm ready. Like, control no more. I trust life. I trust myself. I trust God, universe, source. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. So there's a sense of surrender we all have to experience, and we'll have to be willing to, cede control of. Yeah. And I guess that as humans, a lot of us feel like we need to be in control of circumstances, but we need to trust the universe and God and anything that, hey, it's going to happen. I just need to do what I need to do right now. And that ability to stay present in the moment is something, honestly, I don't know that we've been taught at a very young age. I think we lose a lot of that childlike joy as we grow older. And there's a certain danger in that, when you sort of start to believe that, you know, things are not going to go in our favor. And so we have to make sure we have as much control as we can. And so I think we get into a lot of what we get into life, as we've seen in today's world.
Totally. And it's really that childlike innocence, is that playfulness is the most powerful energy you can be in. It's magnetic. It's radiant. It's super, super manifesting. Like, it's the most powerful, because you're in you're in your truth, and the truth just attracts truth.
Yeah.
And so when you're in that state, that your vibration that you're emitting is just you, it's like the whole world opens up for you. It's like you experience and you see the whole world in a new way, because it's not, you're looking through this tunnel, is you're looking at the literal.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's like you've got your global view on versus like you've got this little tunnel that you're looking through.
Yeah.
And being in, and honestly, to access that, it's like the present moment is a portal to everything, literally. So it's like an opening. If you're present and your awareness is in the present moment, this is where you create your life from. We don't create it from the future. We don't create it from the past. It's in the present moment that we're creating everything. We're the creators of our own life, right? So
we're the creators of our own lives. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so then let's move on to this word, diversity of experience.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
So I guess part of my experience growing up was I always felt like I was, like I said before, kind of like the lone wolf. And I really deviated from the normal white middle-class family kind of stereotype. I really wanted to experience, you know, the richness in cultures and people and places. And I really, I honestly got very bothered by, you know, situations that would happen in the world that just, I felt like, I was always rooting for the underdog. That's the best way I could put it. Hmm. And so I really made it a point to deviate from the norm and experience diversity in humanity and experience diversity within people and experience diversity on the planet. And so I would always go to, sometimes it would be alone too. I would always go to different types of movies or different types of restaurants or different types of anything that I could get my hands or my senses into to just experience what it felt like. Because there was a part of me that was like, this is what the world is about. Like, we need to experience the uniqueness and the I always like to say juiciness, but like the juiciness of life, right? We're not all here. We all have a unique soul print, right? We all have a unique fingerprint on this planet. And to really experience all that is, I just feel like there's so much depth to that and so much relatability when you can really just see people for who they are and experience the thing that makes them unique, you know?
Yeah. It is interesting because you talk about your experience as a white middle class, you know, you say you come from a white middle class family, you were bothered by what you perceive as lots of underdogs around you, and
yeah,
you have a certain vision for the future. So what did you do about being bothered? Did you travel? Did you go to different countries? Did you, you know, I see that you took on yoga and a lot of these things, but I'm curious about how you actively decide to move out of your environment, because a lot of times your environment could impact your views.
Totally. So I definitely did, just in my own environment when I was at home, I did a lot of volunteer work. So I did a lot of volunteer work at different types of shelters. I did it with different types of kids. I could use the term underprivileged kids, but that was my thing while I was at home, living at home. And then as soon as I had the freedom, I got out of school and I was like, okay, I'm ready to travel. I took off, and I was so ready to just really experience the world and really experience people and just be kind of like an open book and almost like a sponge to, you know, how people operate and how people move through their life and their values and what they see. And it's just because everyone's life is shaped through their own perception, right? And it's just like a cluster of their own experiences that makes their own life. And so I really wanted to experience how they experience their life, what they do. And that inspired me to explore and travel and just connect. And at the same time, the connection also led me to the same conclusion that we all just long for the same thing. We all long for deep soul connections. We all long for love. We all long for, you know, really knowing our place in this world. Like, on the surface, we all might look very different and we all might move through life in a very different way. But like within, it's all very much the same.
Yeah. What's the best way to connect to people from different cultures, at least in your opinion?
For me, it was like, basically, it's like not worrying about me, like not coming with a preconceived notion of how, or expectation, basically, letting go of expectation and just inviting them in. It's this, like, tell me about yourself. Tell me about this. I want to learn about this. Like, just this enthusiasm about, I really genuinely care about you and your way of life and your way of being, and I want to learn and like bring me in kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? I want to experience you is basically what you're telling them.
Yeah. Interested people make interest in people. So I think a lot of times you're right. We go into that environment where someone's different from us and we put this undue expectations that, oh, we shouldn't make a mistake. We can't do this. And what's going to happen? And then we lose sight of being present. And we're like, hey, you can ask open-ended questions and learn more about them. And a person from another culture, most of the time, more oftentimes than not, if you catch them in the right moment, they'll be, yeah, so this is why we do this. This is how we do this. This is the important and all that kind of stuff. And if you make a mistake, it's okay because they, at least when you open up that way, they understand that you come from a good place, but they can also correct you. And that's a good way to learn.
Totally. And the thing is too, is like it's like on the outside, yes, things might look very different, but we really, it's like once you connect with a human, or a soul, you're connecting to them. And like all of that other stuff on the outside kind of falls away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you kind of hone in on, okay, well, this is really cool. Like your experiences and your culture and your upbringing and all of that is beautiful. And at the same time, we're so similar, you know? And I just really find that so fascinating that we can have so much, so many differences, but at the same time, when you really get to know the person or you really get to sit down and talk to them, we're so similar.
Yeah. No.
And the separation on the planet is sad. It's painful because we're continually separating people for no reason whatsoever other than the fact that at the root of it all, we actually all want to be together. Remember I said we're pushing away the thing that we long for the most? So it's like we create more separation even though we long for the most to be together in oneness.
Okay. No, I agree. That's so fascinating you say that because you're right. I mean, you know, we do focus a lot on differences and not enough on common values. And it's interesting how that plays a role into politics, into family, into education, because we end up not getting the full story. With education and history. And those things also play a value in how we see other people. And sometimes when we tell stories that are incomplete, it just forms these biases that we have in all that. And then we, you know, not enough people are willing to just go out and explore to change those experiences. So it's leading me to this question. What is your vision for the future, given what you know is the current reality of the world?
I mean, talking about separation and oneness. So it's really, I feel like if we all can drop into and embrace and own and experience our own divinity, experience our own fullness, our inner work will be reflective on the outer. It's like the microcosm to the macrocosm. So I truly believe that, yes, we still walk through this world as, you know, diverse, unique, beautiful beings with our own experiences and our own wisdom, our own magic, our own like unique taste and medicine. But yet at the root of it, there is no separation, that we are all one. And the planet is ascending. We're ascending as humanity, as a collective consciousness, we're ascending and we're growing and we're evolving. And This is a critical time to either go into very deep separation or go into very deep oneness. And I really, truly, truly feel like I have a divine duty or divine responsibility to help others see that light within, so that it's just a ripple effect and it can constantly go back into this oneness, into this fullness, into this harmonious planet.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that you definitely feel called and you're living that experience. So, no, I love this conversation because we've talked about the importance of tapping into our inner light, also the importance of diversity of experiences, but also how the common values is what truly brings us together.
Uh-huh.
The other aspect of your work is, I mean, you do a lot of things. You said you're a healer, right? And you use tools such as, you know, Reiki, meditation, psychic abilities, and directives from the inner template. So how do you essentially bridge the spiritual and physical world together? Because I'm trying to put people in a position where they could imagine working with you, Kiara. So what exactly is that experience like?
So if someone, so let's say someone is coming to me for a Reiki session or an energy healing session. So I literally am the bridge of that session. So what I do is I channel, so it's basically energy flows through me into that person, and I give that person healing, not my own healing, but universal healing. So I really tap into universal life force, universal healing energy, and it flows through me. So I'm really a bridge. Like I bridge people from the wisdom of the spiritual energetic world into bringing it down into the physical 3D world.
Now,
does that make sense?
No, it does. And I want you to explain, elaborate a little bit more on that, because when you say the 3D world and you're tapping into that, so there are certain forces, you're saying, in the spiritual realm that maybe we don't tap into physically. And so how do you separate between the body and what's spiritual? I guess that's where I'm trying to get that.
So it's basically the body is in physical form, right? Mm-hmm. So the body is physical. We can see it. We can touch it. It's a very dense physical form, right? That's the kind of like the 3D world. And the spiritual world is all energy. So we can feel it. If you have other abilities, you may be able to see it. You may be able to hear it, depending on what kind of abilities you have. But basically what you're doing is like, you're like decoding the message. You're taking a message. You're translating a language. So pretend I'm a translator. So it's like, I get messages, I get wisdom, I get whatever I may get from the spiritual world, from that energy force, and I translate it to help that other person come into themselves fuller.
Yeah.
Into fullness, into their own divinity, to heal something. Because what happens is, if you think about a physical illness, so let's say my knee's hurting, or let's say I get sick.
Oh no.
That's the physical manifestation of something that has happened in an energetic way first. So what happens is the energy world happens first, and then it physically manifests here.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Oh, and before we get ready to close, because I love this stuff. This is amazing. This is like, listen to Oprah Super Soul Sunday here. So this is good. This is exactly what she's, you know, Oprah, everybody knows me, knows I'm obsessed with Oprah, and I love that. But we can't deny, obviously, some people, I'm sure there's been some resistance. I'm curious to how you've dealt with that. Someone says, oh, this is so woo-woo. What are you talking about here? That doesn't make any sense. Like, get out of your head. Mm-hmm. What do you say to those?
I said, I literally let them be. I like, okay, thank you for sharing. And that's their experience. Like, I will never, ever, ever. You can't force someone to understand the truth. They have to surrender to the truth.
You can't force someone to understand the truth. They have to understand the truth.
They have to surrender to the truth. You can't force that. So all I can do, and I know, is like, okay, that's their projection. It's not about me. It's just their projection. Something that is not sitting well with them. That's okay. I still have a duty to hold the vibration and hold that vibration of, okay, well, this is truth and this is what I feel and I believe in this. And that's okay. Whether they receive it, the thing is we get to stand in our truth, and whether the other person receives it or not is not your problem.
Okay, that's well said.
Right?
That is well said. I do think we get into problems when we do try that thing where we're trying to convince the other person, like, no, it has to be this way. And we, you know, it just becomes this interesting back and forth, and then we lose sight of everything. So
I have an invitation right there, just a quick invitation for anyone listening to this right now is, so you said trying to convince, right? So my invitation and my little wisdom nugget here would be eliminating the word trying, or eliminating any trying actions, quote unquote, and dropping into allowing. So instead of trying to get them to see this woo-woo stuff, I allow them to go on their own journey and then see that stuff. Does that make sense? Like, it's a totally different energy. Trying is like forcing, pushing, proving versus allowing, which is just letting it come and letting the truth be shown. It's like emerging. Yeah. Like letting the truth emerge.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Kiara Noel, ladies and gentlemen, this is the spiritual leader for the next generation. So I love this. Where can people find you? How can people work with you? What is the plan? How can people get in touch with you?
So right now, I'm very, very in love with Instagram. I have an Instagram. I share a lot of little wisdom nuggets there, insights just into me. So Instagram for sure. It's Kiara Noel. My website, definitely hop on there. If you feel called to work with me, there is a section on my website where you can check that out. My other services are offered there. And then, of course, on Facebook as well. And yeah, I'm around. I'm here. I'm always welcome for new people, new opportunities, new discussions. And yeah, let's raise the vibration of the planet.
No, I love it. I love it. And I'll definitely make sure I put all this in the show notes. We've been talking to intuitive coach, healer, and teacher of all things esoteric. I always miss it up. Esoteric. Esoteric.
Yeah, you got it. Esoteric.
I can't let you go without asking this question. My mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. So how do you, Kiara, use your difference to make a difference?
I love that. That's so good. I feel like living in truth is how I use my difference to make a difference. Everyone's unique and everyone's got their unique soul print. So
yeah, living in truth.
Living in truth, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has definitely been a spiritual day for sure. It's been a pleasure having you on though, Kiara. I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's truly refreshing to hear, you know, just the journeys that people go on and what they learn from that. And even more refreshing when you hear that that journey has inspired them to create a path for others to be their highest self. I really, really love hearing stories like that.
Totally. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I love jamming out with you. So it's my pleasure to be on here for sure. I love it.
Pleasure is mine. And ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.